Text to Rach on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. To survive like no one else in Greenville, you must drive like no one else in Greenville. So, just a reminder, do this every time we end up on the top of one of these lists. Most dangerous place to drive, most per capita deaths, per capita driving. This is a very dangerous place to drive. And that you have to keep that in mind in Greenville. And I can honestly say, Lee, if I did not have the, and I've learned this, I didn't do this before, I learned here, it's just sheer terror, sheer white knuckle terror. If I didn't slow down almost to a stop going into intersections, I would have died by now. I would be dead. And the most recent full on running of a green light that would have collided right into me was about 2 weeks ago in the middle of the night. And my husband said to me, this is really getting to you. I mean, 2 days I was shaken badly from it. And it was just, you know, I called my dad and I said, listen, Dad, a week before this, I said, you know, I come to an almost total stop. I do come to a total stop at night because there's no one behind me.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. No,
otherwise,
there's no.
You got to
look behind you. And that's the trick of driving in Greenville is you have to slow down as much as possible going to the intersection while minding the person behind you so they don't hit you. But you do have to slow down because you will be killed or seriously injured within a 5 to 7 year time frame. And that's how long I've been here. I've had three of them that would have killed me. My husband saved me in one of the cases. I saved myself in the other two. And I said to Dad about a week before it happened, because this was last week, I said, Dad, I thank God I remember to slow down, that I haven't gotten sloppy about that. And sure enough, a week later, Pelham and 14. I watched my life right in front of my eyes. I watched him. He never hit the brakes. He went full on through the green light. I had the green. Blasted through it, and I laid down on the horn and left my hand on it. Yeah. And there was a brief tap of the brakes, like I had scared him a little. You know how you'll do that reflexively? But no other acknowledgement other than that, and he just kept going, high rate of speed.
Yeah.
So, and again, we're seeing this confirmed again, and every year, a couple times a year, we win one of these. Greenville, the 27th worst place to drive in the whole country. So we're not number one in this one, which is good. But this is a dangerous place, and that's a good reminder of it. Just one of the things you could do and teach your kids is you have got to master, it's very tricky, you got to master watching the car behind you and being able to slow down just enough to save your life going to that intersection. Because if you don't keep doing that slow down, you will get nailed eventually here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's situational awareness, and any good driver is not going to be looking at just what's in front of them. They're going to be looking down the road. You want to look at where you're going, not where you are. And that has led, and you've got to use those mirrors. That's just it. You've got to use them because you need to be aware of what's behind you, what's on the side of you.
Like nowhere else.
Exactly. Well,
like nowhere else here.
I agree. There's no question that it is more dangerous in this area. Everybody needs to do that everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's what you need to do as a driver.
It's good advice. And one of the things that is a real problem here, and I only see this because I drive in the middle of the night. So if you think, you know, next time you're out there at 11 or, you know, you're at 2 or 3 or whatever, we have a tremendous problem here with people driving without their lights on. And so that is why I have three big intersections on my way to work, and it's a battlefield. And I come right up to the intersection. I come to a complete and full stop on green after checking that there's no one behind me, which there almost never is. And you have to watch, and you have to stare looking for the guy with no lights on, because the drunks don't put their lights on. And a lot of them come off the highway. Oh. They've already been down the highway. And this guy that almost killed me the other day had no lights on. The only lights I saw was when he briefly tapped the brakes. Yeah. So, again, this is why per capita, and they've listed us among the worst for DUIs, speeding, and accidents. So this is not good. We're 27th in the nation. So I do that because I love y'all, and I want to keep you alive, and I want to keep your kids alive, and it's just a good reminder of how dangerous this place really is. That's not your imagination. That you must deploy defensive driving here, like you do almost nowhere else. So always good to have the defensive driving, as you say, Lee, but yeah. It you cannot let your guard down, not even once.
Yeah, I mean, I even coming up to those intersections, you're right, you need to be taking a look. I mean, I don't hit any stoplights. See, I'm coming from the country, so I don't hit any stoplights until I get on Woodruff Road, coming off 85. So,
yeah.
But, I've got to watch those intersections and those, you know, four-way stops that coming through those rural areas I get to before I hit 29 and then 85.
Text writes here, got to be careful blowing that horn too. You'll get shot.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, I was just trying to tell the guy, like, stop. Dude, you just ran a red. Are you okay? Slow down. Stop. Pull over something. But it barely made a Barely made it done.
Yeah, maybe put the phone down, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. Texture rates. Oconee County Sheriff's Patrol no longer patrols. Just as bad here. Yeah, South Carolina is notorious. Again, we're usually one, two, or three for worst per capita fatality auto accidents in the nation. Depends on the year. We've been one a couple times since I've been here. We've been two, and I think we've been three a couple times.
So I will still say that it's not about, to me, I mean, granted, you do need to have law enforcement patrolling things. And yes, I do think that has an impact. But our biggest problem is the fact that you have particularly some of the worst offenders are not in prison.
Yes.
They are allowed to continue to drive. I mean, we just recently, had a collision here. This person was third offense for driving under suspension.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that doesn't mean anything here. Driving under suspension.
No, honestly, no, it doesn't mean anything.
A license is very optional here in South Carolina and in Greenville, definitely. As long as you're willing to come into court for each one of them so the judge can dismiss them. Because the judge always dismisses them. Yeah. I mean, we've been through, you've heard me profile some of the cases here. The poor man in his 40s who was killed not long ago, he was just absolutely mowed down by this guy. And when I pulled the guy's record, he was on his third DUI, his fourth or fifth driving on a suspended license, had been in multiple wrecks, several grand theft autos, and every one of them had been dismissed. So, I mean, you can rob places, steal trucks, drive with no license, drive drunk multiple times, and it doesn't really affect your ability to be outside of prison here. I mean, it bounces right off you with these judges. And it's been a big problem here in South Carolina. You know what this comes back to, if you want to know why, I mean, this may be it too, is again, we don't appoint judges like most other states. Most states have judges elected. We have an extremely corrupt committee in our legislature that appoints them, and everybody on the committee is an attorney. And so what that means is judges understand that if somebody from either that guy, state legislator, or someone from his firm, and they represent or own some of the biggest firms in South Carolina, comes before that judge has got to dismiss because you might not get reappointed. And that's, I mean, if you want to know what the part of it is, corruption, absolutely. We should have judges elected in this state, or we should just have a better system of maybe creating a public committee to appoint them that is not lawyers that make money from DUI dismissals. You know what
Listen,
I mean?
I just the thought of people electing judges when we think about how well our legislature works. I'm just not confident in that as a solution either. I don't know what the answer
is. We're one of the few states that doesn't elect judges.
I know, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're wrong, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're right either.
I don't know. My time in Charlotte, we took a few out at the polls, and they lost their seats.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I don't know. I think at least the people having an ability to remove them helps.
I get that, but, then again, it's just I'm not sure what the right system is for that. The thing is, I just wish that we would have judges that would invoke the sentences, for the crimes as they're committed, and just this immediate dismissal of so many charges and pleading down of cases.
It's a problem.
And of course, it gets back to the fact that we don't fund the prosecutor's office well enough either.
Yep, and that has been a problem for a while. Celebration over the weekend of Pride by the Biden administration, with the Department of Veterans Affairs as part of the celebration announcing that they are going to be giving away 4,000 sex change operations. So if you are a veteran and you would like to change your sex, the government is down with that. And the Biden administration announced the free sex changes over the weekend. It was actually the Department of Veterans Affairs as part of the Pride celebration in Florida. That was VA Secretary Dennis McDonough. And so if you are in the military or subject to the VA still, you're not in, but you were, and you would like to change your sex, you might as well want to jump to the front of the queue. By the way, we still have over 35,000 homeless veterans. But they're not of interest, I suppose. Okay, so there was a time when you might get impeached by Congress if you were to freeze aid to the Ukraine. Remember that? Remember Trump did that? And then we found out that he didn't actually freeze the aid. They did run it out to the end of the period, but they didn't freeze it. In other words, Ukraine got their aid in order to repel Russia right on time. But they're not right now under Biden. But do we impeach Trump for that? Uh-huh. And Biden just did it? Uh-huh. So where's the, I know. The times we live in, folks, the times we live in. Now, here's what's fascinating about this. And Red State's got a really good summary of this. When was the aid frozen? So this is going to help Russia to just roll right into Ukraine, which our elites claim not to want, but they really, I don't know. When was the aid frozen? You guessed it. Right after Biden met with Vladimir Putin. Prior to that meeting, the Russian defense minister had said they would pull troops back that had been stationed near the Ukraine border. But that hasn't happened. So why would Biden pull the aid? By the way, the aid to Ukraine included lethal weapons that they could use to repel Russia. Wasn't that what Trump did? Yeah. So what did Biden get for that? Technically nothing. But you need, well, for the country. For him and Hunter, they got millions of dollars. But for the country, nothing. Even Trump was stunned. So here's how this goes, okay? Putin mocks Biden, laughs at him, makes fun of him, mocks our country, mocks our justice system, calls his human rights advisors. Joe goes behind closed doors with him for a couple of hours. He gets the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which will give him almost total control over Europe because he can choose when the lights go on and off. It's the way he's controlled a lot of the former Russian republics. They just, more than two dozen times since the 1990s, they just shut the heat off. They shut the gas off. They shut the oil off. So he's going to have a tremendous, tremendous power over Europe that Trump had use the threat of sanctions or impose sanctions to stop. So Biden lifts the sanctions, allows the Nord 2, which essentially is just transferring energy jobs from the U.S. to Russia because of Biden's regulations on American drilling right now, we have an all-time high import of Russian gas, both natural gas and oil. So Russia's getting rich. Biden freezes the lethal aid to help Ukraine so Russia can roll right in there. Russia doesn't even have to pull the troops back. And Putin gets the thing he's worked for years. I mean, this guy was so desperate to run pipelines up into Europe so he could begin to control and influence the region that, remember, they fought that whole war in Syria. They killed ISIS, had to eliminate ISIS so that it would be safe for the pipelines. And Biden's like, shit, you didn't have to do that. Nah, here, have a pipeline. By the way, Biden thought that war was in Libya. He's a little confused, but it was in Syria. How'd Russia get this? Listen to Trump's voice. Just shocked.
We gave a very big stage to Russia, and we got nothing. We gave up something that was unbelievably valuable. I stopped the pipeline, Nord Stream, and that pipeline was stopped. And it was given back, and nothing was gotten for it. I think it was a good day for Russia. I don't.
Yeah. So okay, but Biden did get something. To be fair, there was one thing he got. He and Hunter got $3.5 million. Remember, paid to them by Yelena Batarina, the wife of Putin crony, the former mayor of Moscow. He's since passed. Now, if this was Trump, the media would be going wild on this because remember, Biden said that he didn't know anything about Hunter's business dealings. He had no clue, and he'd never even met with those people. Because just a few weeks ago, a photo, series of them anyway, emerged, and there is Joe, and he's sitting next to Hunter, and right there is the Moscow mayor, and the wife is so weird. Anyway, he said that he'd never met us, so he was lying. But the media blacked that out, except the New York Post and the UK Daily Mail, which told us all about it, right? So let's just recap. Hunter gets $3.5 million in what is clearly a bribe. We know this because the Treasury Department flagged it during the Obama administration as potential money laundering. It's just a program. It automatically does it. It's not political. So that's how the Department of Homeland Security was able to get a copy of it. It's when we know Russia was paying bribes to Hunter. The mainstream media, the conspiracy media, ran fact checks saying it wasn't true because Hunter denies it. And because the company that it went to wasn't his, well, on his own website, he claims the company is his, so he just deleted the website. But if you need any more proof that the Russians bribed them, UK Daily Mail, doing actual reporting, went to Yelena Batarina's family and said, hey, did you bribe the Bidens? Her brother said, yes, we did. We sent the $3.5 million. UK Daily Mail said, what were you buying? And they said entrance into America. I thought you use a visa for that. But apparently, I guess if you're high level, you just give Hunter $3.5 million. So if you're wondering why Russia got this, why Russia was able to get out of Biden with no concessions whatsoever, the very thing they impeached Trump for, the freezing of the Ukraine aid, we're not going to use, you know, give them lethal weapons to use against Russia. They got the Nord Stream, so they're going to have generational control over Europe. If you're wondering why Joe did all that, there is actually there's a very logical explanation. It's because Russia bribed Hunter. That's why. If you want to understand how these bribes work, you need to listen to the Battleground podcast from Friday. You can text Battleground to 71307. See, this money, you ever get one of those tests where they inject dye into your blood system and then they look to see how it moves through the body? Like that? Yeah. Well, the Russians and Chinese do that too. See, once you take the money and they know you're not registered as a foreign agent, as Hunter was not, they know you can't report it to the IRS. You got to launder it. Those are felonies. So they know the second you take the money, you committed a crime. And then they watch where the money goes. They know where the money went. And Joe knows they'll tell everybody. Because the Russians already sent Yelena Bartirino's brother out there to say, yeah, they took the bribes. We paid them. $3.5 million. So they know. I mean, there was even a potential that Putin could blab that on the world stage. So Putin had to get everything Putin wanted, including the transfer of energy jobs from America, where Joe shuts down these pipelines, to Russia, where he opens them up. So if you're wondering what we got for your energy job, you didn't get nothing. U.S. got nothing. But Hunter did get $3.5 million. So you could at least, you know, be satisfied that somebody in America got something. So now the conspiracy media, that's ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, those places. We can only call them the conspiracy media after learning over the last month they got every major political story of 2020 wrong and got most of COVID reporting wrong, too, but only in ways that went one way, assisted Joe Biden. So I'm calling them a conspiracy media now. I don't think it's fair to call them the mainstream media anymore because they're constantly running conspiracies. Like Brian Sicknick, a Capitol Police officer, was murdered by being beaten over the head with a fire extinguisher. They made that up, it turns out. Never had any sources tell them that. So this is the way they lie to you. So what they're seeing right now is that Tucker Carlson is wrong and Revolver News is wrong and that there is no way the FBI was involved in January 6th, that they did not infiltrate the groups that did the violence. They did not infiltrate the leadership. They did not assume leadership positions for themselves and then direct the violence. That is totally a conspiracy. Yeah. So usually when the conspiracy media calls something a conspiracy and goes hysterical about it, that's a pretty good indicator that it's true in my experience, right? So I watch the hysteria level from the media, and that's usually a pretty good indicator they're lying to you and that the FBI was deeply involved in astroturfing the violence here. But let's look at the central claim. Let's see what we could do with it. The central claim that is being refuted right now by the conspiracy media is that the FBI did not infiltrate these groups, the Three Percenters, the Oath Keepers, and the Proud Boys at the top level. They did not do that. That is a conspiracy. If you believe that, you're delusional. The FBI would have never been involved with running these groups from the top, including on the very days they were committing violence at the January 6th. Wait a minute. What if there was a way to prove the FBI had infiltrated the very top levels of those groups? What if I could do it using only conspiracy media sources like NBC, ABC, CBS? Would you believe it then? Or would they just go on pretending none of this is in their archives? All right, let's do it. Let's challenge the idea. And I'm not saying the whole thing's true, but let's challenge this idea. The media over the weekend refuted, there's no FBI infiltration to the top of these groups. Just did it. Wait. The leader of the Proud Boys is an FBI informant. The leader? You tell me he's a leader? Well, what? Hold on. Is that a conspiracy? Because I'm told that if you believe that, then there's something wrong with you. Who reported that? January 27, 2021. Who was it? Reuters. What we used to call the mainstream media on this show. Reuters reported that. Enrique Tarrio has for years been an FBI informant. Isn't he the leader of Proud Boys? Huh. So wait, what was the media telling you this weekend? That anyone who thinks that's crazy because it's a conspiracy. Well, it's not a conspiracy. It's in their own archives. What about the number two guy in Proud Boys? You know, that extremist group. The FBI likes to tell us they're white supremacists. What about the number two guy, Joe Biggs? I mean, he's not an FBI informant. Oh, no. You ready for this? NBCNews.com. See, I actually remember this stuff when the media says it, before they lie about it. March 31st, 2021. Not that long ago. March 31st, 2021. Okay, so just like, you know, 3 months ago, right? What were they reporting again? The number two in leadership in Proud Boys was a what? FBI informant. Weird. That sounds like infiltration. And I've proven this using only conspiracy media sources, NBC News and Reuters. Oh, SR, what is the conspiracy media telling you right now? FBI did not infiltrate these groups at the top level. Okay, cool. Because I'm in their archives, and they claim they did. Now, that's a little weird, isn't it? I'm sure it seems like if you control the group, you ought to know what's going on in it. You might have had, foreknowledge about January 6th. You might have even fomented a little bit of it yourself. See, because once you understand that the top leadership of Proud Boys is FBI, at this point, I mean, honestly, looking through the archives of these conspiracy media sites, I have to wonder if Proud Boys is even a real organization or if it's just a bunch of dupes with the FBI on the top. Well, where was Enrique Tarrio on January 6th? What's the weirdest thing? FBI had him arrested on January 5th. 5th? Uh-huh. Barred from Washington? Yeah. Well, wasn't he going to operate a radio channel on January 6th? You know, just coordinate the Proud Boys march and the stuff they were going to do. Wasn't he going to do that? Yeah. And what was the instructions from Enrique Tarrio before that? For everyone to be peaceful and for all the groups from the different states to just go their own way. They weren't going to coordinate anything. And then what happened? That radio channel got canceled. And then there was a new one in which violence was promoted. And four of the five people on it are unindicted co-conspirators, even though they were urging the group to violate. That's weird. I wonder. I mean, you don't think there could be other FBI informants running Proud Boys? I mean, I'm just looking at, I'm not crazy. I'm in the NBC News archives. It says right here, FBI enlisted Proud Boys leader, Joe Biggs and Enrique Tarrio. And then this weekend, like I'm in a twilight zone, I'm watching the mainstream media going, anybody who thinks the FBI controls these groups is crazy. Well, that apparently includes NBC.com and Reuters. They really ought to search their own archives before they do these stories so they get their lies straight. So here's my question today. If we lived in a rational, honest society, I'd want to know, how has the FBI told us for a year that Proud Boys was a horrific white supremacy group when they were controlling the leadership? Is the FBI running a horrific white supremacy group? I mean, I've never thought they were white supremacists, given that the leader is black. But Enrique Tarrio, by the way, is half black, half Hispanic. But this sure is strange. And don't you think there ought to be at least congressional hearings on it where we haul Christopher Wray and go, you know, you seem to be controlling the top of the... Yeah, okay, so let me tell you how this is going to go next, okay? So let me just so you know how it's going to go. Okay, the denials will last for about another week. Then the media will admit, okay, the FBI did have informants at the top of these groups. They did. But it's not a big deal. I mean, there weren't a lot of informants. Oh, my God, there were a lot of informants. Okay, stage three is going to be the FBI did have a lot of informants in these groups. But if you want to criticize that, you're a racist because, of course, we have to watch these groups. And then after we find that out, and we're going to find out all these unindicted co-conspirators are in fact FBI, why wouldn't they be? The leadership of Proud Boys is FBI. Again, don't take it up with me. I'm not crazy. Take it up with NBC News. They reported it. Take it up with Reuters. They're going to work on your mind. They're going to work on your mind with their lies. So eventually they will admit most of the leadership is FBI. And then after that, I don't know what you think it'll take, 3 to 4 months, 6 maybe. I don't know how fast it'll go. They'll eventually have to answer questions about why they walked right into the violence. How they knew about it before and not only did nothing but egged it on. That's how this will end. But we're just in the beginning denial phase. The media always tries that first when they're lying to you, even if they have proof to the opposite in their own archives. I'll be right about this one, too. Good sources. NBC News and Reuters. Rike Tarrio, leader of Proud Boys. That is weird, isn't it? Especially since for last year, the FBI has been, you know, spent so much time telling us how horrible they are and all. Kind of weird they're running that group. Anyway, so next time you hear the media lie, you'll know what the truth is. Texter writes, I'm struggling with the logic that the person was an FBI informant and therefore under the control of the FBI. Could you please help with that? Sure. The way that that works is they cut deals with you. Local police do this too. It's not just the FBI. Where you, they've got you in a crime and they get you to do work for them. So, or they just don't come after you. So when you learn that the top two guys in the Proud Boys are FBI informants. Oh my God. And the media is out there telling you that if you believe that the FBI controls the tops of these groups, you're a crazy man conspiracy theory. Well, again, I just proved it using NBC.com and Reuters, who've apparently forgotten their own reporting from just 3 months ago. So here's how this is going to go. They're eventually going to have to admit that the FBI was heavily involved in these organizations, including on January 6th. They're going to have to admit that. What they'll do then is try to shame anybody who criticizes it. Well, of course we need the FBI involved in these organizations. But the real question nobody wants to answer. We need an answer to this. The most violent participants in January 6th have not been arrested. They're still out there. As the FBI tells us, they're terribly dangerous. They've not even been named. Why is that? Yet the guys booking the hotel rooms for the most violent people on January 6th are sitting in prison with no bond. Pregnant moms and grandmothers were dragged out of their houses in pre-dawn raids by the FBI for merely walking into the building and trespassing. They're not even accused of violence. So why are some of the most violent people, and some of them have been arrested, yes, but they were side by side with other unindicted, unnamed co-conspirators. Why have those people not been arrested? Why are they still out there? Including the guys who were allegedly planning to bring bombs and guns across the Potomac. We don't care about those people. Not arrested? No. Not named? No. No pre-dawn raid at their home, in front of their neighbors, with the local television affiliate called beforehand? No. Weird. That's weird. I just think somebody ought to answer that question. Simple question. Excuse me, Director Ray. It appears the top members of the Proud Boys are FBI informants and were deeply involved in planning January 6th, along with several unnamed and unindicted co-conspirators. Can you tell us right now definitively those co-conspirators had no connection to the FBI? They were not paid informants or FBI agents? Can you tell us that definitively? It's not a hard question. It's not. He can't answer it, and that's why it's not being asked. Here's another one. It's just questions I want answered. Why have you not indicted many of the most violent people from 9/11, yet you're harassing grandmothers and pregnant women with pre-dawn raids? Why did they get away? You can't find them? You don't know where they are? And do those, and some people, at some points it's crazy. Like with the FBI traffic off of the walkie-talkies they were using, like 4 out of 5 people directing the violence are unindicted co-conspirators. Only one's been indicted. Can you tell me, Director Ray, definitively that none of them have FBI connections? None of them are FBI employees, have received any money from the FBI, or are otherwise working with the FBI? Just yes or no, simple question. It's not hard. We can settle this right now. The fact that no one will ask it tells you everything you need to know.